So we're hoping to kind of verify where those fish came from if we can, to sort out if they're coming through Dexter on their own, or if they're one of the releases. So be curious. He's having to try and hook and line them because they're so small that they go right through the crowder, so we can't actually get a hold of them through the normal trap operation. So we'll see if he has any luck catching a couple, and we can see if they have any marks, if they're research, or if they kick back to us. Other than that, things are going pretty good. That's about it for us.
Any questions or comments?
Chad, this is Tom. You said that you've already crowded some fish in that pre-sort pool?
We haven't. When Doug said that there were smolts in the trap, I was curious just to see if we could find out if they were part of, like, the research releases, but they're too small for the crowder. So Doug's just gone down and kind of looked in the trap, and he was, just from experience around the trap, that's where he said there's probably about 100 steelhead. They typically, they can kind of get in and out of the trap, so he said about 50 in the pool, and then they swam back in the ladder, and then another group hanging out in the ladder, because the steelhead, for some reason, they can get back and forth through the V-weir right at the top end of the ladder. The Chinook don't get back out of it once they swim through it, but somehow the steelhead figure it out. So they're just kind of bobbing along. I expect when the Chinook start coming into the trap, the steelhead kind of don't enjoy being in there with all the Chinook, and they try and get out of their way. So hopefully in the next couple days, we'll start picking up some Chinook.
Yeah, I was there looking at the ladder and that V-weir yesterday. It actually looked like there was a bunch of Chinook in there and just a few steelhead from where we were standing. But, yeah, I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah, we'll have to check it. Yeah, I talked to Doug this morning, and he was still tell me that it was mostly steelheads. Maybe we'll have them crowded up and see if we can see some more fish.
All right, anything else? We'll go to Fall Creek. Doug, are you still on?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Fall Creek, currently we have trapped and hauled 78 winter steelhead upstream of the dam and impoundment, as well as 14 natural origin spring Chinook and North Pacific lamprey, and then miscellaneous resident species. And that's about it. Any questions?
Thanks, Doug. All right, moving on to research updates. In regards to the fish facility design work group, that meeting was canceled, I believe, and I didn't receive any research updates, so we'll move on. Do we have any water quality or flow updates?
Hi, everyone. So I don't have a major water quality update. I can share that we do have USGS sampling downstream of Green Peter right now, and they're looking at a range of flows from about 1,000 to 4,000 CFS, which is what we would be typically seeing during the drawdown. So they're trying to get sediment samples pre-drawdown and be able to do that analysis later. So that's going on right now. For the water quality update, I don't have anything else, but for the flow update, I'll go ahead and say the limit's 86% full and 15% below the rule curve. We have about 7 projects over 90% full, so we're pretty full in most places. The only places that are still lagging behind are Cougar and Fall Creek, which were in their delayed drawdowns, so that is expected that they're behind. And Hills Creek is augmenting Lookout Point right now as well, so not quite as full there. As we're heading into June now, we're seeing targets dropping at Salem and Albany for our buyout flows, and we're watching those and making sure we're staying above minimum. And that's about all I have for now, unless if there are any questions.
Questions or comments? All right. I don't think we have any BPA updates, so we'll move on to... Do you have any...
Actually, Chris, I'm sorry. This is Kelly. Sammy, thank you for that. Can you speak a little bit to the sampling below Green Peter? Do you
This is Catherine. I can jump in.
Oh, so, great, Catherine.
They're just taking velocity measurements using an AECP right now, sort of a recon site for the sampling they plan to do over the winter. They're just making sure that the channel right downstream of Green Peter is going to be safe for them to work in come the drawdown. Just getting a feel for conditions. We are planning on increasing our sampling, so we're funding the USGS to add additional turbidity gauges in upstream of the reservoir, and then additionally, suspended sediment concentration sampling at various locations downstream of the projects that we're drawing down this fall.
Anything else on that?
Thanks, Catherine. Yeah, I was just curious. Thinking about last year and what we learned and the monitoring that's taking place now and how it may influence how we implement the drawdown this year and when that information might be communicated to the partner agencies. Do you have more information on that yet, or is that still kind of being developed?
Yeah, it's still being developed. We are working on a revised plan, but it's still going through an internal review and review with, among the federal defendants. And then, of course, that plan would have to be submitted to the plaintiffs and the judge, before we, I guess, can take any further steps. So, right now, I'm estimating August, but it really just depends how quickly the judge makes a ruling. We plan to submit something to him, hopefully, in another 2 weeks. We're thinking. So I'm not sure how helpful that is, but sometime in July or August, I would think.
Okay. So just to clarify, make sure I'm understanding. So... the non-federal partners will not be included in any of that communication or kind of discussing potential operational changes or anything like that. We'll just wait to hear from you in August. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, if you have some thoughts on, what you think may make sense, I'm all ears for sure. I guess we just can't guarantee anything until the judge has made any sort of additional ruling, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm just curious about what you guys were considering.
Yeah, so a couple of things, if we've got a couple of minutes. So last year, some of the main impacts, obviously turbidity and water temperature being another one. Turbidity will be challenging to manage for. We're taking what was once reservoir and converting it to a river. Obviously, there's sediment that has settled over time, and so we still would expect elevated turbidity. We may have some ideas for how to reduce impacts to downstream water, drinking water facilities, but turbidity is still very, very, very likely. Water temperature, we've actually worked with the USGS to look at a couple of different drop-down scenarios to improve water temperatures. And what we're finding in some of the initial modeling results are concepts that we've already sort of identified in other reservoirs, like such as Detroit Dam, where we carry out operational temperature management. And really, it's there's a finite amount of cold water in these reservoirs. reservoirs start to cool off, you know, in the fall. And so, you know, waiting to tap into that cold water and waiting to dry down until the reservoir had a chance to lose some of the heat back to the environment are really great ways to wind up with cooler water temperatures, you know, come fall and early winter. So those concepts are playing out under this newest modeling we're doing. So we're leaning towards a later start to the drawdown and drying down at a potentially faster rate. From a water quality perspective, that seems to, you know, I think that would improve water temperatures. However, we still need to work internally with some of our geotechnical engineers, structural engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So while we've played with some ideas, we certainly haven't landed on a final plan. And that's going to take, some of, internal discussions with engineers, talking with NEMS more, of course, since they're co-defendants, and then working through the legal procedures. Kelly, did you have any concerns other than, some of the water temperature turbidity impacts we saw that you think that we should consider if and when we revise our drawdown plan?
Sure. No, we just are hoping for coordination. And I understand, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here, but just opportunities to kind of know the types of information that you guys are considering and that you've collected, and just the things that you're weighing, I think would be helpful just for our information in case folks have additional thoughts.
Okay. I'm going to have to probably talk with some folks, right? I mean, we haven't on all of the development of these implementation plans, there wasn't, you know, it was the, you know, federal defendants and plaintiffs coordinating on developing these plans. And so that would be sort of in bringing in a new process. And I do understand that the state of Oregon is interested in these deep drawdowns. You know, we received multiple letters from, we received a letter from the governor's office, as well as DEQ. There certainly are plans to discuss the drawdowns. I think that we need to figure out what a potential revised operation could be, and then I think we'll be in a better position to, talk amongst some of the, you know, the various stakeholders and agencies in the region. So I don't have a date for that. The first time I'll be meeting with some of our engineers is this Friday, and I should know more after that. I just don't want to start coordinating on operations that our engineers have concerns about, you know, in terms of like a dam safety concern or something, and, you know, me have to walk back, you know, sure, any sort of information that I've discussed. So I'm not trying to hide anything. So let me think this through a little more and see when a good time would be to like set up a call to sort of talk through some of these things with you and others in Oregon and, you know, anyone else really in this group or the flow management water quality team water group that may be interested in.
I really appreciate that, Catherine. And you know, some of it is, you know, everybody's being asked, and so the more we can communicate and be in alignment, I think the better. And so if we have that information, that helps us. So I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Anything else on that?
Thank you guys for that conversation. It really helped me understand, you know, the back and forth, where we're going and how much effort it takes. Catherine, I appreciate that. Kelly, one thing I would suggest you help us with, if possible, is anything, and this goes for Ryan and Chad, people working at the LOP site, and likewise at Green Peter and Foster, anything that we may be missing that you can tell us about regarding besides sediment, and that's very big, but maybe I should say in addition to sediment, outside, about temperature issues in relationship to operations at Dexter, say, operations after things are kind of done this year. I'm not keeping enough track of what's going on with sort of the construction as well as the drawdown, and then how fish are being handled there and how that might have changed from last year. If there's major changes from how fish are being handled or held at Dexter that would reduce the harm or risk of harm that you could tell us, that would be useful from my perspective to understand better. And I know similarly that there were some changes made at Foster facility during the drawdown. So in terms of that being a timing question, if I'm making sense, but you had to do things different, they had to do things different because the timing of it was overlapping with fish on eggs in a hatchery facility, ponds being used, et cetera. That's good to know, because it really, it's nobody's intention to make the drawdown cause harm downstream to fish that are equally needed, if you will, to the ones that are moving down, but we are trying to balance both of those. That's how I see it.
Okay, thanks, Anne. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think this is Ryan. I think you're aware, you know, we moved eggs from South St. Anne Hatchery to Willamette, or took eggs, I guess, and we didn't start them. We started at Willamette this year because of the sediment impacts from Green Peter. You know, that's not ideal. I think that is certainly an additional challenge to our hatchery program, let alone, you know, what the wild spawning fish in the river would have been experiencing would have been not ideal. But from an operational perspective, yeah, we ended up doing that. And if conditions are, from a sediment and temperature perspective, are expected to be the same this year, we will likely have to take the same measure and move eggs out of the hatch house at South St. Anne.
And those were, what I understood when we were all out there on the site visit, those were at the time of that site visit primarily summer steelhead, but is this also movement of eggs from spring chinook earlier?
It would depend on the timing of the drawdown. If it was any earlier, then yeah, it would also affect spring chinook.
Yeah, this is Chris. Yeah, the spring chinook were right at the tail end before we got rid of them. So if it was earlier, yeah, it'd affect the spring chinook.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I definitely wasn't implying that earlier was on the menu. From the perspective of temperature, that's where I think Catherine succinctly pointed out you're not getting that heat release back to the atmosphere until the days cool off and the nights cool off. And while no one can predict what that would be, we will be watching that. I think that's a point in everybody's favor to learn from that.
All right. Any more on that? We will move on. Do we have any pinniped updates?
Hey, Chris, everyone. This is Bob Wertheimer. I'll start here at Bonneville, and then Kelly, I kind of have a pass off to you. I've got a little bit of information I want to share. So currently right now, we've got less than five sea lions in the Bonneville tail race, both predation monitoring as well as removal by the Fish and Wildlife managers have ceased until numbers increase here again. The next is to Willamette Falls is we got a request from Mike Brown of ODF&W on how to access the Willamette Falls lot for potential trapping next year. We're working through real estate to try and get the right POCs and get him the information he needs to set up for that process. And with that, Kelly, I'll pass to you if it's all right for any potential update on numbers.
Sure. Thank you. That actually worked out well for me because I didn't have the information in front of me. So it sounds like, so I don't know, Bob, if you said that they had their final scheduled week of sea lion removals at Bonneville. but we do, sorry, so this week, this came out on last Friday, ODFW successfully trapped and lethally removed one California sea lion from Willamette Falls. They also conducted a riverboat survey where they saw three California sea lions remaining in the Willamette. So with Bonneville trapping concluded, they'll be attempting to do their trapping now at Willamette Falls until they see the last of them leave the river. And so far to date, they have removed three California sea lions at Willamette Falls, and they haven't removed any stellars. Any questions? I have the totals for Bonneville if people are interested.
Yeah, I also just want to confirm, you said one was lethally removed, but three total removed, so...
Oh, two previously, the week of 5-6.
Oh, that were also lethally removed. Okay, thanks. And yeah, just a rundown on those numbers, the bottom would be great.
Yeah, sure. So it looks like they removed 27 Californias from Bonneville and 17 stellars. And as of the week of 5, and so that spread over from the week of 4-1 through the week of 5-17. With the peak looking like the peak of California removals, the week of 4-22. The peak of stellar removals, the week of 4-8. And as of the week of 5-17, they didn't see any animals remaining.
All right. We will move on to HGMP BIOP terms and conditions. First item is use of natural origin broodstock. There's really no update there. I did see email correspondence in the paperwork if that's needed. I'll just move to 11 on. And the
Can I just, sorry. We have this analyzed Gilhead Genetics 5.8.
Oh, sure, you can...
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay, that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. You're still on the same thing. Sorry, just trying to track.
Nope, you're fine. So, I'll talk about Lebanon briefly. I guess there is an inspection tomorrow to assess what the damage is, however they can do that with the pit antenna. Both ladders are currently operational, but they're out there to inspect what damage may have occurred. And I guess more to come on that next month when hopefully there's additional information. So not much there, but they are inspecting it tomorrow, I believe. In terms of fish counts, I haven't really been tracking. I assume that Bennett counts are being uploaded and that Lieber counts continue. And unless anything has anything to add, we can move on.
Sorry, I do want to add something to Bennett counts. I think most of us are aware, but maybe not everybody, that those counts are going to be stopping at the end of June. Last I heard, there won't be personnel working at it, won't be Bart's job anymore. And that's a huge hit for understanding how fish are moving in the North Saniam. It's probably maybe worse that it's, you know, worse for Chinook, obviously, at that point in the river timing, but... Next year, it will be bad to not have steelhead counts too, especially since fewer steelhead make it to Minto. You know, they spawn elsewhere on the way up, we hope. But knowing things like, you know, how many are available for natural origin broodstock, it's good to see those Bennett counts, to know that in advance, knowing when high flows come downstream, sometimes there's more fish at Minto than went over Bennett because they don't go up the ladder. Those are useful pieces of information that are lost, and that just touches the tip of what we're going to lose there. So just want to point that out. I don't know if it's something that it'll take a village to solve or what, but that's coming, and it's coming soon.
Thanks, Ann. I was either unaware or I forgot. So likely more to come on that, I imagine.
And isn't that a requirement of the HGMP or hatchery buyout?
It is.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Chris. For Lieberg counts, I was down there counting yesterday. I am not entirely caught up yet due to being gone in Astoria last week. But just for the group, we are starting to see Chinook. And interesting note, so the first hatchery origin Chinook was seen passing the dam on the 13th of May. So they are slowly starting to come.
Thanks, Stephen. So we did talk briefly about the Liebrich sorter, and that's related to reducing PLS on the McKenzie River. I don't have anything to add unless anyone else does. All right, moving on. I do have
I'll just say I was waiting to see if Jeremy was still on the phone. They're conducting interviews today for the sorter position.
Nice. Moving on to item 510, the genetic pedigree work. I do have some disappointing news. It does say that we had FY24 funding available. That funding is no longer available, so we will have to try again next year. And that's all I have on that. I know we had talked about getting that work done this year, but it's not going to happen. So hopefully next year. In terms of assessing spawning of a federal dam, that's also another item in the biop. So currently that is in the FY 2025 budget. No guarantee we'll get it, but it is in the budget, which is the first step in making sure that we can get these things going as it's been a bit. And I will pause and address any comments or questions from this section. All right, moving on to one.
Sorry, wait. I have to find my mute button every time, so I'm a little delayed. Sorry, can you explain to me the salmon spawning above federal dams, so that includes, like, Quartzville and...
Yeah.
Did I understand you to say that it's in the FY25 budget, but we might not?
Okay, I'll explain it in a little more detail. So... we're still doing spawning surveys above Quartzville Creek and in the Middle Sinium this year, so that's still ongoing. There's an item in the hatchery biop that talks about doing above dam spawning surveys above Detroit and Cougar. So we're trying to get those going as well. So those two surveys are in the FY25 budget. So Green Peter's good to go this year, should be good next year. We're hoping to get surveys above Detroit and Cougar next year in 2025. It's in the budget, but more to come because we don't know if we'll get the funding, but we have requested it.
Okay, thank you, Chris, for that clarification. I appreciate it.
So in regards to one of like contracts, so I think most are tracking, working on a new contract for the operations of our Willamette hatcheries for Spring Chinook and Summer Steelhead. Moving to a different contract instrument, we did meet with ODFNW and their contracting folks, I don't know if it was last week or the end of the week before, just to prepare for the documentation and the coordination that's gonna have to occur to get these implemented. And then along with that contract is the bull trout piece, which is wrapped into that contract, although due to time constraints, we may end up going the same route we went last year with a purchase order contract, which are a little bit easier to get implemented quickly, or more quickly anyway. So that should still be covered. That's kind of our contingency at this point. But just so folks are aware, we hope to get the bull trout, the next bull trout iteration, awarded by July 1st. The current one has an expiration date of July 4th, so there shouldn't be any sort of gap, because those caused lots of issues with our contracting office and other offices as well. Any questions on that?
Again, I just want to express appreciation for keeping that bull trout moving and maintaining continuity, so thank you.
Yeah, we try, or at least I do. Let's see. Next, I'll move on to, I guess, the trout production contract. This, again, will be a new contract that we hope to award this fiscal year. And this specific contract will address fish stocking to begin in 2026, but will be a 5-year contract going through 2030, I believe. So, more to come on that, but again, trying to get another contract in place because the current contract will be expiring. And it did look like I missed an item in regards to a contract modification for CodeAware tags and then removing Otolith language from the contract. That's currently being worked. There is CodeAware tag funding available. I just need to work with contracting to get that going. And then also work with NIMS and Lance to work language in the current HTMP that also talks about Otoliths. And we just want to make sure we're maintaining proper ESA coverage and process with that. Any questions on that? All right, and we talked about Green Peter spawning surveys. Good news on that. That was awarded, I believe, about a week ago. That was awarded to Kramer Fish Sciences. So they will, again, be doing spawning surveys in Coorsville Creek. They will also be doing spawning surveys in the Middle Santiam. However, the surveys in the Middle Santiam will be done above the private property in the lower portion of the river due to access issues down there. But it looks like we'll have surveys done above that. So that's good news. Questions on contracts? All right. We didn't have any notification forms, so we'll move on to task group / PDT updates. I don't know if Catherine's still on to talk about our Willamette Valley Operational Fish Passage Majors PDT or not, since I can't see participants.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here. All right. I'm sitting in a room, so I'm incognito, but I'm totally cool. Everything, all the injunction operations are going well. You know, right now we're, you know, we've been focused on spring spill operations for downstream fish passage. It's starting to warm up, so we're starting to move towards operations to manage for downstream water temperatures. Foster Reservoir is refilling as we speak, and we hope to get it full by for Memorial Day weekend. And yeah, we'll just continue sort of rinse and repeat from last year. No different operations this spring as compared to last year, so things are moving along as planned. I think the most challenging item is the one we already spoke to, which is the, you know, deep drawdowns come this fall, and what we plan to do there. So more to come on that. But other than that, I think things are marching along. I'm happy to answer any questions, though, if anyone has any.
Yes. Catherine, I just wanted to say thanks for letting us know that, I think it was you who told us they're going out, maybe it was Chris, actually, sorry, to check on the Lebanon antenna. And because of the importance of that with what's left of the spring, but certainly going into the fall, if they needed to, as we did last fall, change the minimum for, you know, some days at a time, it's 1100 right now until July 1st. They need to do something to get it lower for a couple of days at a time to really understand what's going out there. I think, I mean, I would just like blanketly say right now, we support that. And if you need me to put that in an email, I can do that and CC Fenton so that it doesn't become some kind of, oh, sorry, we never could tell what was happening. The flows were too high. And as you're trying to get refill at Foster, maybe this is the time to do that. Ensure that that happens and drop those flows for a little bit and get that solved. And then I'm hoping also come July when the minimum is 800, if that's in place, if that's all that's coming out, that they can fix it at the lower flows rather than waiting until later in the year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks, Anne. I can pass that along to Fenton. I'll let you know if we need an, you know, would prefer an email, but for now I think just, yeah, us talking about it is plenty. I'll be really interested to hear what the contractors find. You know, at this point in time, I think they're just trying to figure out what is broken and where, and you know what happened. So, as soon as we get more information, we'll be sure to pass it along.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I can say. I mean, it appears that it happened, and they probably already know this from watching data drop off. But it looked like it happened late December because there was no more tag red after 1st January from our review of the Lebanon Patagas records. So that doesn't help them figure out what it is. But it is interesting that it was after the resale from drawdown had already happened, right?
That's right.
And it happened quickly because of the high events coming in. I don't remember what it looked like in January. Just going to take a quick look. Oh, yeah, still some very big high events. Okay, yeah. Who knows until they look. Thank you.
Right. I'm assuming debris is perhaps to be blamed for the damage, but we'll see. Boy, I hope it's an easy fix.
All right, thanks. We will move on to the next item, which is the McKenzie Water Supply Task Group. So this has been ongoing, and really this PDT, once we get it going, is much larger than originally. So before we lost the water supply at McKenzie, and now ELEB is planning to decommission Lieberg Dam. So we're trying to figure out kind of what at least we need to do in the near term and long term, but near term, to look at what our options might be with the stakeholders and partners that would be involved, because it's pretty vast in terms of this decommissioning, and since it's a project licensed by FERC, they're also involved. So we are hoping to get a PM assigned to this. I will be briefing our upper management again next month. So more to come. I'm hoping it gains more traction in terms of funding so that we can actually keep something moving and retain momentum. So more to come on that. Questions on that? All right, the next item is the one.
One quick question. Sorry, I'm like Kelly trying to get that mute. Is there a timeline for that, like the decommissioning that has already been announced by EWEB, or is it just up to them to work through that with FERC?
So there is a draft timeline or tentative, whatever you want to call it. I can send that to you. The decommissioning is, I want to say, 8 to 10 years out. I don't recall exactly. I would guess more like 10. But there are some near-term actions that they're going to be doing with the canal that will impact our hatcheries, and that's like in the 4 to 5 year time frame. So we're also thinking about those types of things as well. So we need to get going in that regard. But I can send you kind of what they think their plan is, and we're trying to integrate kind of their plan, knowing there are going to be impacts with our projects and our hatchery specifically.
Hey, Chris, I believe their original timeline had planned for the dam to be fully out by 2030.
So I guess that's sooner than I laid out. So, more to come. We need to get some work done. With that, we'll move to the Willamette Basin Independent Science Review item. And Bob, do you have anything?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Chris. I think everybody's tracking. We've talked about this a little bit, going to the Northwest Power and Conservation Council and requesting a review. Kind of the first step in that process is reaching out to the liaison for the council, who's Eric Merrill. When we reach out to Eric jointly, what we'll do is we'll craft a request letter with them. What I've done in my duo was I've drafted and just sent it out this morning, Kelly, to the people in ODFW stated, as well as NIMS, Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, as well as Confederate Tribes of the Swiss Indians, this potential what the draft letter will look like. So what I want to do is set up a meeting. Either I could put out a doodle, or we could do it as a task group meeting after our next WF POM. You've had a chance to look at the draft letter, so we could sit down and kind of come together and make sure we're all aligned before we reach out and request this review. The letter just went out this morning. My apologies. I've been behind. I know everybody's doing a variety of different things. So this will be a process we go through. It's not going to be a fast process, but I think it's an important process. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll take those questions and do my best to address them. Over.
Bob, what was your, were you wanting to convene the group and then discuss the letter, or were you hoping to get comments on the letter? What does this look like and timelines that you have in mind?
Well, I want to give people a chance, first of all, because like I said, I just sent it out this morning. So give people a chance to review it. To me, it would seem kind of appropriate because I could send out different links of other reviews that have been done for like the Lower Snake River Comp or other reviews from different BPA-funded hatchery programs, because this is nothing. These reviews are pretty standard in the hatchery world. So I want to give people time. I know there's a lot going on right now, so my thought was probably give people time to look at the letter. I can send out links to different reviews that have been done if people in the DL or others would like that, and we could probably convene, say, as a task group meeting after our June WFPOM meeting. Does that seem reasonable?
Potentially. I guess I'm trying to figure out, too, how this fits into other priorities that we have going on.
And that's a great point. And that's kind of why, you know, this is additional work. Other work is assigned. It is something that, you know, we don't really have staffed. We're taking on, and I understand the same on your part. So this is, I want to work with you, and I'm not putting any arbitrary or artificial timelines on this. I just think it's a process that will be beneficial and we should work through, but it has to be, you know, appropriately researched. So I'll work with you on timelines and everyone on timelines that are fair and reasonable to the best of my ability. Over.
Okay. So it sounds like we'll be hearing more from you.
Yeah, and what I could do is I can provide some, I'll follow up on the email I sent out, and if anybody additional who's on the line would like to be involved, just please send me an email, and I'll work with you on this and include you on the DLL for this task group. I think my plan, next plan, is to send out some links of other reviews that have been done so people understand kind of the process and context. Over.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, just real quick on that. Thanks, Chris, and thanks, Bob. Just real quick on that, I see Lance isn't on today, but I see you did include him in that email, Bob. That's really important. I think it'd be important to get Lance's perspective on this, especially given, you know, just I did a quick cursory review of the letter this morning, and it, you know, generally looks good. I'll have some comments, but I think it appears that a lot of those same points are what Lance and his team did in the hatchery review, hatchery HGMPs, and hatchery biop here, you know, just within the last handful of years. And so I think, you know, we want to be really careful in not repeating that work and not, you know, creating work that isn't consistent with NIMS review in the hatchery biop, at least from my perspective. And so I think for lots of reasons, some including legal, I think we need to probably walk delicately on this one.
Hey, Ryan, yeah, thank you for that. And first of all, I completely agree. And that's why, I got it out this morning. This is going to take some time. I want to make sure Lance and others all have a time for thoughtful review so when we proceed forward, we get the most value. Right, that helps us with all the great hypothesis testing and experiments that are going on here, right? So this is going to take some time. We're definitely going to get that input. So hopefully by the time of our, you know, June WFPOM, we're a little further in the review and can start working together on this. And that's all I'm looking for, is just to kind of proceed forward. The first duel was on my part. I'm trying to meet that, and I'm going to work with you on that. So, like you said, we get the best benefit from the work that we put into this. Over.
All right.
I think I actually am going to be on vacation the day of the next FPOM. So perhaps if Ann and Lance can both be there, it would be okay, but I would like to be there.
No, thank you for that, Josie. And what we're going to do, again, is this may be, you know, once we sit down, the next might be setting up the actual meeting, right? Just give some people time to review, process,
review what's important to them to make sure we get evaluated in the hatchery post-release, these different aspects that are typically evaluated. So we're going to set up an inclusive process. So nobody's input in our meetings. Not everybody's going to be able to be at every meeting, but we're going to make sure that their voice is heard in every meeting, if that makes sense. Over.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Last item is the fish operations plan. I did receive comments from NIMS and ODFNW in regards to proposed changes, those changes related to court injunction operations. Most were minor. We did receive one that suggested additional details for the Middle Fork Willamette regarding court, the operations, both at Lookout and Dexter. So we'll just need to talk about how much detail we want to add to the plan. What I tried to do is take the implementation plan, or we tried to take the implementation plans and summarize that so that it's something that, you know, would require minimal changes year to year. But if more detail is required as to what's being done, we can add that too. So I'll need to maybe give Ann or Josie a phone call, or maybe set up a small discussion to see what we want on that. But like I said, nothing major, and I hope to get this published soon, and then any other additional changes we can get into change forms and change in the future, as it is a living document. So more to come, and I'll take questions or comments on that. All right.
Sorry, Bob. Could you say again specifically which sub-basin that was in? Because that might decide whether it's Josie or I that are there for...
Yeah, that was in the Middle Fork Willamette. Josie had just suggested adding more details, and we just need to figure out how much detail we want to add. Because what I did was I took the implementation plan and I summarized it, and yeah, we just need to figure out how much detail. So more to come.
Okay. Yeah, and I need to understand better if these are kind of an annual WBOP, do they cover things that are happening that year? Like, I know it'd be hard to track, but getting the insight of what's going on relative to modified handling for the construction period, and just putting that in for now, because that's to some extent going to continue into next year. So at least it would be 2 years before it has to be taken out as no longer germane. But that's separate from the injunction, which itself has a little bit of play, as we heard earlier. So, yeah, happy to talk about that, all of us. Thanks.
Yeah, that's always the balance, you know, changing the plan itself or just doing a memorandum. And we're always kind of trying to figure that out. So, yeah, we'll talk. All right, anything else folks want to bring up? All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.